What up, y'all? It's your boy Kev on stage, and I want to tell you about Black Married and Debt Free. Okay, they're a couple that paid off $110,000 in debt in 2017, and now they want to educate and inspire millennial couples to do the same. So what I want y'all to do is subscribe to their page. Go on YouTube, go on Instagram, and get the following going at Black Married Debt Free. It's everywhere, all right? So if y'all don't want to be broke no more, you want to be debt free in victory. Then go follow them, Google them, look them up, and see what they're talking about, because don't nobody want to be broke. You feel me?
What's going on, everybody? This is Marcus, and I would like to welcome you to another episode of the Black Married and Debt-Free Podcast. I'm here with my lovely and very studious wife,
Shira.
And we've been having a good day. This has been a good Sunday, and we hope that you too are having a great and eventful Sunday. Shira, how you doing on today?
I'm doing well. How about yourself?
I'm doing pretty good. I'm excited to talk about today's topics. We're going to be reacting to an article that you found. But before we get started, I want to thank everyone who's been listening to the Black Married and Debt-Free Podcast. Thank you for downloading. So do us a favor and share this with your friends. Share this with your family. You know, we were talking finance and all things marriage. This is your number one stop for marriage and finance. So welcome, Shira. I want to know what this article is about.
Yeah, it looks really interesting. And so it's titled, I Ruined My Family's Finances by Withdrawing from My 401k to Buy a House.
Oh.
And I regret it.
Yeah, this is...
What's your thoughts?
Yeah, this is going to be really interesting because I used some creative ways to fund an investment property before. And so... Not quite like this, but very interesting. So I'm interested to hear more.
Yes. So this article is featured in Market Watch, and it says, I recently made a panic decision to withdraw all my money from one retirement account, and I am closing on a house in February. The house cost around $200,000. I am 36 years old, married, and have a one-year-old. Half of me is regretting it, and I'm worried about next year's taxes due to the withdrawal and the 10% penalty I paid. I have been saving up money with my family in order to buy our first home. Recently, however, interest rates have risen, making me worry that this window to get an affordable house was closing. In a fit of panic, I withdrew all of our $26,000 saved money from our 401k account, and I put it into a high-yield savings account. We have now chosen a home and will be using around $18,000 of this money for the down payment. I am now worried that I might have to pay income taxes and a penalty for the withdrawal itself. I am extremely anxious over the situation as I feel I have destroyed our family's financial future and that we cannot afford to pay taxes on the money that I withdrew. So I'll go ahead and stop there and get your reaction.
Yeah, a lot of things come to mind. One, I want to put this person's mind at ease because, you know, Shire, they seem very anxious and they said they were nervous and unsure. So I want to assure them that they will be paying taxes. They will be paying taxes on that money. But I think it's important to break down the 401k, which is an employee-sponsored retirement account. And with that, if you withdraw prematurely before 59 and a half, you're going to get a 10% penalty for sure. And because this is a pre-taxed account, which means this is taken out before the federal government gets their taxes and your state gets their taxes, you're going to have to pay taxes upon withdrawing at any age, right? Even if you withdraw at 65, you got to still pay taxes on it.
Right.
So, yeah, it's going to count as income. I mean, there's really no workaround for that. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I think there's red flags all throughout this narrative that I just read. The first red flag is panic decision.
Mm.
And when it comes to your finances, when it comes to your family, you don't make panic decisions. Yeah. You make thoughtful decisions. You make, I've calculated the risk decisions. Mm. I've talked it over with my partner decisions. But we don't make panic decisions. And I think what can put you in a panic? I think watching a lot of the sky is falling material will kind of get you into that state of mind, yep, or the news, or, you know, maybe seeing other people buy homes and knowing that you haven't gotten a home yet. I think looking at everyone else,
yes,
is definitely a way to get yourself to make a panic decision.
Yeah.
But I think when it comes to finances, those are not the type of decisions that we want to make.
Yeah, that's a great point, Shire. I sense a lot of unsurety here. And it's like, this actually could be a nice little play, a nice little move if you were just sure about it. But mm-hmm, the fact that you're so, you know, I don't know, I think I might have ruined my family. Why would you do anything with, on the other side of it, it could be, I think I may have ruined, you know what I mean? Not, you know, I don't know if I'll make all my money back, or, you know, this is the bad side of this to her is catastrophic. So why would, yes, you even even do that?
Marcus, you said her. I think it could be a guy.
Right.
We're going back and forth. Like,
I immediately thought her. I don't know why. Yeah.
That's not fair. That is not fair. Okay. The next thing that stands out to me is the worry that this window to get an affordable house was closing. When have these houses been affordable? I mean,
yeah.
let's find that out. And is it not true that as interest rates rise, house prices actually drop? So that's the other thing about this window of an affordable house. I will say they were able to get a house for $200,000. It does not say what part of the country that they're in. But maybe where they're in, that is a good deal.
Below the national average, right?
It sounds like it, right?
It's pretty good.
And then to withdraw all of the money. I know people withdraw some money.
Yeah.
But why would you take all of the money versus figuring out what it is you actually need?
How much you need.
It's just, I think that we have an over tendency to maybe overestimate what we really need.
Mm-hmm.
And I think for a lot of people, it really shows up with like the student loan debt crisis.
Yeah.
Like, shoot, it showed up for me where I took more than what I needed. And I think sometimes we overestimate, and it only harms us because, yeah, for one, if you know you're buying a home, the first thing that you should have done was establish a budget. And if you established a budget, you would have been able to calculate to the T,
mm-hmm,
what you needed for the home.
Yeah.
And maybe you would be able to use your savings, something that you've worked for, and combine it with your 401k,
mm-hmm,
instead of just saying, you know, I got to get into my 401k and I got to get this money out and I'm not, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So
Shire, what you're doing, and I didn't even see us going here, you're digging into the psychology of it, right? Of the person, why they did it. And I think that is super important.
Yes.
I think they may have inadvertently, withdrawing all of it may have inadvertently been the right move in this case, because, mm-hmm, you take out $26,000, you only needed to use 18 for the down payment. I think you might still have enough to cover your 10% penalty and your inflated taxes. Tax.
Right.
But, you know, or at least most of it.
Right.
You know?
And the other thing is that this article mentioned was that they were closing in February.
Mm-hmm.
It's January. It says, I'm extremely anxious. I feel I have destroyed our family's financial future. Nobody's making you do this.
You can back out now if you want to.
Back out. And you know what you need to do? What I would consider doing, since you feel so bad, the money that you borrowed, put it back.
Yeah.
You know, because here we are in, what are we in? January.
Mm-hmm.
You have the whole year to replenish what you borrowed.
Yeah.
So pay it back. And then the thing that you'll have to suck up is that 10% penalty that you took from withdrawing it.
Yeah.
And count it as a lesson learned.
That's an option.
Because when you get a house, you want to, do you want to pay 10% of $26,000 or do you want to pay $200,000 for a house you don't want?
Right.
Which makes more sense to you? So I'm saying through your income, contribute, you know, to the max or whatever you, and if your partner's working, and then that'll in turn lower your tax bill for next year if you're contributing. Yeah. And you should have the money to contribute because now you have this excess cash that you borrowed. Are you following me? Am I making sense?
But okay. In that scenario, they wouldn't have the house though.
Yes, because they don't, because they said that they feel if this house is bringing you grief, then don't
sorrow,
do it.
Right?
Then don't do it because your house, of course, your house should be a blessing.
Yes.
Like when we moved into the house that we're in now. Yes. The moving was probably the most stressful part, right? But we literally moved like down the street, mm-hmm. basically. But I feel that my home is such a blessing.
Yeah.
And if you don't see moving into a home as a blessing, and for some people it's not a blessing because it's at the wrong time. You know, you can't afford it for the wrong price and for the wrong reasons.
Yeah.
You know, so you know, if the house is not a blessing to you and your family, and it's going to bring more stress, more harm, then back out.
Yeah,
take the L. Let it be somebody else's blessing.
Yeah, yeah, I totally agree, Sharon. I love where you went. Now let's talk about what some potential alternatives could have been.
Mm-hmm.
With most 401ks, you can withdraw or take a loan on against your balance,
right,
and pay it back. I don't know how the meritized payback is, but this is something that I did way before Black Married Debt Free,
mm-hmm.
way before we got financially literate. I was we were in need of some cash and all this, and I knew and I wasn't contributing to my 401k, but I knew I had something in there because my employer was really active on the matching and the yearly. They would put money into our 401 yearly. Yeah. And so I knew there was some money up in there. I knew I had some money floating around and I really needed to get some of it. So I, you know, did the research and found out I could take a loan on my 401k. Now, the thing to remember is that you will still be taxed, but you avoid the 10% penalty. But you do have to pay it back. There was like a minimum down payment. And so they're going to take it. Now, the cool thing is, Shire, the payback was out of my check.
Yeah.
So what does that mean? That means after the loan, they're going to automatically withdraw more to pay myself back, so to speak. So now my check looks smaller. So
well, you said that was a good thing.
Yeah, that kind of sucks. You know, I think I could have paid a lump some kind of way from some outside money if I needed to, but I didn't even really do all the research to figure that out.
Yeah.
But that could have been an option. Now, you would have been stuck paying yourself back, but you would have avoided this 10% penalty. Maybe that would have put her mind more at ease, but that's kind of weird. You know what I mean? It's like, especially if you're contributing actively to your 401 on one hand, and then you're paying your 401k loan back on the other hand. It's kind of counterintuitive if you really think about it. But
yeah,
what do you think, Sha?
Well, one of the things to note is that you're still required to repay the loan even if you leave your current job or
you
are laid off. So is one thing to just be mindful of, mm-hmm. if, you know, a person was to take this route. But anything to avoid that penalty, you know, it might make it worth it.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I mean, let's do story time, Shy. And we've broached this topic before. Let's go here. I, for our fourth investment property, used funds from a retirement account of sorts. It wasn't a 401k, but it was my Roth IRA. And what I did was I didn't go into any penalties, which is cool because with a Roth IRA, you can withdraw money
That you've put in.
That you've put in. You can't withdraw the gains without penalty, but you can withdraw any of your deposits. There we go. Without penalty and without tax. Why, Marcus? Because a Roth IRA is funded with after-tax dollars.
Right.
Essentially, it's funded with money from your checking account that you've already been taxed on or whatever, mm-hmm. right? So that was what I chose to do to fund the down payment for an investment property. Now, with that said, the investment, the word investment means that we're making money on that purchase. It wasn't like our primary where it's like there's no receiving that money. It's not something that's going to generate money. But what did you think about that then, Shire? What do you think about that now that I did that? Let's tell the people.
Well, I mean,
for those that didn't catch that episode,
I don't have a whole lot to say. I feel that was the house that you bought with no input from me.
And I don't regret. I don't have no like sorrow or like I don't feel like I ruined the family or I don't like regret that I did it. You know, I do regret that I didn't ask you first. Like we've talked about that. Like,
I mean,
you know, me and Shire are business
partners. I'm not saying that you have to ask, but informed. I didn't know where the money was going to come from. And I didn't ask any questions because I knew he had his mind made up. So yeah. I just kind of left it alone until after I asked, how did you get the money?
And I know we're getting way off topic here, but, you know, since then I've become more enlightened. Like, and this may be good for any couples. Just a little, you know, just a little nugget. We're going to get back on the topic. But I look at what me and Shire do on the money side as we're business partners. So I can't be like, yo, I'm the husband when it comes to business. Because you wouldn't do that with a business partner. You wouldn't be like, well, I'm taller. Like if it was you and your friend that made business moves, investment moves together, you wouldn't be like, well, I'm older than you. So I just chose to do it like this. I didn't need to ask you. No. If you're partners, you should check in and get the okay with your partner before you do something like that. So I learned. I've grown. You know what I mean? Can you tell the people I've grown at least? Come on now.
You've grown. but, you know, every relationship works differently. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. It's an investment that my name was on.
Yes.
Therefore, I think...
Right.
There should be some dialogue.
Right.
But, if I'm going to be on the hook for it as well.
Yeah. But back to this story. I'm saying, okay. I told you my story to draw a parallel with this lady's story.
Yes,
because
yes.
We both used some creative ways. But the difference was she seems unsure. You know, back to the psychology that you were saying.
She seems unsure. That's not fair.
What? Tell me what.
You keep saying that it's a female.
Oh, I'm sorry. It may,
but it could be. Who knows?
It may. It probably, most likely, is a husband. Because you know,
I don't know.
Yeah.
Okay. So another thing we were kind of discussing was around 401k withdrawal and whether or not they would actually assess a penalty from mm-hmm. the IRS. And the answer that we found. And that's even included in the article. It was somewhere around the lines of, it depends.
Yeah.
And one of the reasons why is because an early withdrawal could be classified as a hardship withdrawal. The IRS considers any emergency removal of funds from a 401k to cover an immediate and heavy financial need as a hardship withdrawal. Whether or not it's the purchase of a home using your 401k counts, whether or not that counts as a hardship is a determination that falls to your employer. And that you would need to present evidence of hardship before the withdrawal can be approved. So that's something that I didn't know, that there was a caveat around an emergency withdrawal and that there might be some leniency if you are in a bind. So that's something that new that I learned. And then also we were talking about that period of time a few years ago when the government was like, you know, if you withdraw from your 401k, there would not be a 10% penalty. And it turns out that was actually through the CARES Act.
Yes.
And that was in March of 2020. And a part of the CARES Act It said that 401k account owners could make a hardship withdrawal of up to $100,000 without paying the 10% penalty. And the bill also grants the account holder 3 years to pay any income tax, rather than it being due within that same year. So yeah. I'm not sure that we're still under the CARES Act. So that would be something that I would look forward, I would look into.
Yeah.
If you're kind of in that predicament. But looking at your personal experience, mm-hmm. you know, in withdrawing from your 401k and also hearing this person's experience, like in general, do you think that it is acceptable to withdraw from a 401k or where do you fall?
Yeah. You know, I'm from the school of anything you put in a 401k or anything you invest in general, you don't put it in if you think you're going to need it later.
Mm-hmm.
Any money that me and you put away, Shira, the mindset is I won't need this for 10 plus years, you know? And I know that, gosh, anything could come up where you're like, you could scramble. We were just watching this crazy movie. We didn't finish it though, 'cause we fell asleep, where the dude needed to get money out. Like, he needed money and, you know, to pay off some ransom, and he only had a certain amount in his bank, and he's like trying to scramble. And so I get, like, there may be some crazy scenarios, like,
Marcus,
I need to get this.
A kidnapping.
That's what I'm saying. It's very unlikely. So I'm from the school of you don't withdraw the, you know, with the knowledge and understanding that I have about finance now, I know that
right.
when you invest something, it's for the long term. Long term for me is 10 years plus.
Right.
And so, yeah, I wouldn't do it. I wouldn't do what she did. I'm just going to say that. I would just wait, you know, save the money, do something else, you know, figure out a different way to go about this.
Right.
Me personally.
Yeah, so I would definitely lean towards the side of 401k withdrawal is really for true emergencies. Like, it really has to be an emergency. But then also do what I can to put in place, you know, an emergency fund.
Come on, Shire.
So that I don't have to go into a 401k.
So it's not even an option.
Obviously, a house purchase is not really a reason to dip into an emergency fund. That's not an emergency.
You may need to start a house.
You start a
down payment.
So fund, yeah. Right? So maybe you start another fund. It gets really difficult because you want a home.
Come on, Shia.
A lot of people we don't want to wait. Because it's like, man, I'm already in my 30s. And then say if I have a 30-year loan, I'm going to be in my 60s or close to 70 before I pay it off. And I think that we let different things weigh on us.
Yes.
And then we get into a hurry. Yep. And then we end up in a bad situation. So really just go at your own pace.
Mm-hmm.
Don't make rush decisions.
Mm-hmm.
And if you have to rent for longer than you would prefer, just do whatever it is you have to do.
Mm-hmm.
We don't know what this market is going to look like in, you know, 1 year, 2 years, 3 years.
Yeah.
It could be to your benefit that you wait
yeah.
and not jump into something. I mean, that's one of the things with the market is that it's really hard to predict. But one thing that you don't have to predict is your income. You know what that is.
Yes.
And you should also know what you can and cannot afford.
Yeah.
And then you should use your best judgment, work with your partner
mm-hmm.
to make the best decision.
Right.
Regardless of what other people are doing, regardless of, you know, what's on the news that's
yes.
making you panic. find out what your trigger is
mm-hmm.
and find out, pinpoint those triggers.
Yep.
If you know that certain content is making you more anxious, tune it out. Take
yeah.
a break.
Yeah.
Not saying that you'll never watch the news, you'll never, you know, follow XYZ, you know,
mm-hmm.
on Instagram, but sometimes you just have to steel yourself and settle yourself so you can find a place of contentment, whether you're renting,
right.
whether you're owning, whether you're, you know, you have other goals that you want to pursue, but now it's just not the right time.
Yeah.
And be okay with it.
Yeah. I love that, Shire. I think you're right, man. Sometimes you got to put them phones down, log out of Instagram and all these different platforms where you're seeing people do stuff and you're like, man, I wish I was doing that, because it'll cause you to make rash decisions. And it's not like, if you did this decision to the writer of this, if you did this with the utmost confidence, this would not even be a podcast topic.
Right.
But it's the mere fact that you're so unconfident. I don't know if that's a word.
Right. Unsure.
Unsure.
Anxious.
Anxious that you think you may have ruined your family. Like, that's how you know you let this stuff get to you. You let the FOMO, you mentioned that in here, you let all that get to you, and you know, you don't want to do that.
Or at least if you're going to do it, just do it.
Just do it.
Just do it.
Just
okay?
Do it and say, hey, whatever happens, I don't even care.
No. I'm not saying that.
Not I don't care, but I'm going to deal with it.
Right.
But
then you make a plan, right? Yes. Say, man, I did this. Ouch. Lesson learned. Mm-hmm. And you know what? I'm going to make better decisions now that I'm going to learn from this.
Yeah.
So I know that I need to build back up what I've lost. So I'm going to, you know, you figure out how much you can actually contribute each month to retirement, and do better. My thing is, we're going to all make mistakes.
Yeah.
We've lost money.
Yes.
You know, but we learn from our mistakes, mm-hmm. and we do better. We don't sit there. We don't wallow. I mean, you can wallow for a few minutes.
Right.
But you snap out of it and say, you know what? I'm not going to make this mistake again. Mm-hmm. And yes, I made a mistake, but I'm going to do better.
Come on, Shy. I think that's a great place to leave this conversation. I totally agree with you on that one, Shy. Well, if you all enjoyed this podcast, do us a huge favor and please leave us a 5-star review on Apple Podcasts or wherever, Spotify, wherever you're checking us out. That really helps us out tremendously. And do yourself a favor. I mentioned it on the Quick Cast last week. I'm going to mention it again. I have a 24/7 music stream on YouTube.
Aww.
Of great just vibe mode setting music that you can play on. It could be the soundtrack to your financial journey. Okay?
Yes, yes.
You can just turn it on, vibe out. And the link is in the description for that.
What's it called?
Chai Tea Vibes.
Come on.
Okay. Lo-fi 24/7 stream on YouTube. Similar to Lo-fi Girl, if y'all are familiar with that, you know, turn it on while you're studying, whatever. This is my version of that. So check it out. Let us know what you think. And we're going to holler at y'all on the next episode. Shire, any final words?
No. Just check it out. I've been listening to it.
Thank you,
Shire.
It's
really good. Yes. It's really good.
We're going to be adding a lot more music to that.
Marcus will be adding more music.
Yeah. But all right, y'all. Happy Sunday. And we hope you have a blessed week. We're going to holler at y'all on the next one. Peace.
Bye.